Oh, hello. Hello, everyone. And welcome to the Super Funnels from Happy Time Better Show podcast. It rolls off the tongue every time.
What's that voice?
I don't know.
Wow.
So I'm Gabor, and I'm here with, what's your name again?
Hi, I'm Alex.
I'm Alex. I mean, you're Alex.
Oh, shit.
It's a good start. We just had a long day of lots of demos, so...
Yeah, I probably should get some fresh air at some
the
point.
The brain... Oh, fresh air, that's for weak people.
Is it?
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
So, Alex, what's new with you?
Oh, man, just been lots of gigs. Lots of gigs.
How was your all-day book talk sound gig?
That went all day. It was very much all day.
He sent me a photo of a I don't know, like 16-channel mixer or something like that, and it was channel one. What's you? That's it.
It was a Reader's Writers Festival, a writing festival, and there's a bit of music on at the night time, but it was just about 8 hours of chit chat up until that point.
Yes.
To do a sit through. That was challenging, not to just buy shit on eBay. To entertain myself.
Yeah. For anyone who doesn't know, Alex has got a sound production company as well that he around the Sunshine Coast.
Yeah.
Where he does stuff and in exciting things like book events.
Yep. it's decent money, so yeah.
That's what you do. You do things for the money.
Sometimes.
She works hard for the money.
And on that, we've been doing videos today.
Yeah, lots of videos today.
Getting well into our clone.
The series? Clone series. Yeah. Yes, the clone and clones and clone inspired series. So we've had, actually, big thank you to all the manufacturers. We had tons of people send us stuff.
Lots of people get on board.
Lots of people got on board. So today we just sort of randomly picked ones out of the. I brought them all along in a bag and or in a case, and we sort of randomly picked a few. So we did the Clon KTR.
Yep.
Because we thought it's a Clon in clones, so we've got that one. So may as well do it.
Actual Clon.
And it does sound really good.
Yeah.
It is a really good sounding pedal.
It's been a while since I've played that one, which is yours. And, yeah, there's not much to hate about it.
No, it is a really cool pedal. It'll be interesting once our friend Craig, who's going to lend us an actual clone, the Centaur. Not that it's not actual, it is an actual clone. Oh, I think you got mail.
Oh.
I think he's got some mail. Just talk to me. So, yeah, our friend Craig is going to send us, or not send us, is going to lend us a Clon Centaur. And it'd be interesting to compare, do an A-B comparison. Oh, and there's a dog attack. It'd be interesting to do an A-B comparison between a KTR and a Centaur, because the KTR does sound really, really good. Just one of those, just very smooth sounding, very nice sounding. And I'm all by myself now. He's gone. What else did we do? We did the Matthews Effects Architect, which big thank you to Rick Matthews at Matthews Effects for sending us out an Architect version 2. That's a really, really good pedal as well. I really enjoyed that one. I think that was one of Alex's favorites of the day we did today. More clipping options because you've got a silicone germanium and a lifted diodes or no diodes. Nothing.
I'm back.
He's back. What did you get? Swamp Industries.
Not sure. Well, it's a rat case, I think.
Ah.
So my dog just got out and I had to get the bloody dog.
Yeah, he came in here. Or she came in here for a visit.
She's very excitable.
Yes, highly excitable dog.
And very brown.
Very brown. Very dog-like.
Yeah.
Yeah, doggish. So I was just talking about the Architect. Well, the Clon, the KTR. Just saying it'd be interesting to hear the difference between the Centaur and the KTR.
Yeah.
Because the KTR sounds really good.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of people sort of say it's not quite the same as a centaur, so it'll be interesting to hear the difference.
Yeah, we're going to do the... I don't know if you mentioned, we're going to do the shootout eventually.
Yes.
Basically, somehow managed to squeeze all these little clips of each of the...
Of all the pedals. It's a growing list as well. We also now have Green Child Effects. Mason is going to send us a K818.
Hey, hello from Australia again.
Hello, Mason. Thank you for sending one out to us as well. So the list is ever growing.
Yeah,
That's pretty cool. So it's going to be interesting how we're going to do it, but let's just focus on doing one video of each of them now. So the Architect, I was just talking about the Architect. I think that was one of your favourites.
Yeah.
I mean, they were all good, really.
Yep.
But
they were all very much different flavours of the similar thing, really.
Similar thing, yeah.
So one thing I like about this was the EQ and also the clipping options.
So it's got a three-band, quite active-sounding EQ.
Yeah.
But it's not a harsh EQ. It's not a Metal Zone style EQ. But it's even, you know, on full, it's quite usable.
Yeah. I think because of the fact that the mid-range EQ point is quite low, it's not like a really honky high mid-range point.
Hmm.
So it's kind of adds this really sort of punchiness to the sound rather than any nasally... Bright mid-range. And also having germanium and silicone and the option to lift any sort of clipping stage out.
Or no diodes, I guess.
No diodes at all. Lifted in the centre. yeah, that was pretty cool.
It's a cool pedal. It's my first Matthews effects pedal I've ever played. And it's great. And it looks good too. I like the artwork on it.
It's very nice.
It looks like a cathedral or something, like that.
It's the Architect.
So the Architect.
Like building thing.
What else did we do today? We did the Keeley Oxblood.
Mm.
That was a really good pedal too.
That's great. Quite different.
A bit different again, yeah. It's I think the Architect and the Oxblood are more inspired by and then taken to a different place.
Yeah.
Oxblood, probably the highest gain.
Yeah, definitely got into rock and roll.
And... But, yeah, just really nice-sounding pedal. And, again, you have the different... I like in the manual that actually you've got two diodes.
Yeah.
And in the manual it says one of them is called magical diodes and the other one is called mystical diodes.
Mythical.
Mythical, not mystical. Mythical diodes. Mythical and magical diodes. it's a good, really good-sounding pedal.
Mm, for sure.
It's a bit more high-gain, but... and what was the fourth one we did today? There was one more, wasn't there?
Yes, there was.
Which was?
I know this question.
Matthews. Oh, no, we didn't. We only did three of the clones. And then we did the JHS Color Box.
Yes.
And the 59 sound.
Oh, yeah, the 59 sound. That was the other overdrive there.
The other, the 59 sound, ZVEX 59 sound, which is sort of the box of rock, but instead of being a plexi style JTM 45 vibe, it's a 59 bassman.
I really like that.
It's nice, isn't it?
Yeah, it's very nice.
It's
on the list.
Put it on the list. Well, ZVEX, I think... I say it all the time, but, I mean, I think the Box of Rock is my absolute number one pedal. If I couldn't use lots of pedals, I was only allowed to use one, it would probably be the Box of Rock or... Maybe for versatility of reasons to the King of Tone, just because you've got the two channels. But the Box of Rock, I just love that thing. I always use it. I don't think I've had a board and played a gig, an electric guitar, in I don't know how many years now, without it being on about 90% of the gig.
Yeah, cool.
It's just one of those pedals. I absolutely love that pedal. And it's, yes, the 59 sounds slightly different flavour to the Box of Rock, but a bit sweeter maybe, less aggressive, but...
Yeah.
It's a really nice sounding pedal.
It's very cool.
And then a Colour Box, JHS Colour Box. We did it today because you have to give that back to a friend of yours.
We meant to have a shout-out on the video, but...
I forgot about that. Let's do the shout-out now.
To Brad, my friend Brad, who's he's been in the US for a couple of months now. His band's been recording and writing. So he's back now, so I'll probably have to give it back.
No, just don't mention it.
Yeah.
Just say, what colour box? What's that?
That's not a thing. That's shut not up. A
thing.
Shut up.
Smoke colour box.
Look over there.
Yeah.
Yeah.
His musicians are probably drug eyes, so you know. Joking. yeah, so we did that with guitar into an amp, with guitar straight into the console.
Yeah.
And then also with bass.
Yes. So what do you think?
Into the amp, I actually really liked it. It sound, I there's a lot of mixed, you know, mixed reviews and mixed reactions to it.
Yep.
When you read online. I've never actually played it or tried it before. But into an amp, I really liked it. It doesn't sound like anything else. It has its own sort of sound.
Yeah.
Straight into the console for guitar.
I think if you're going to go straight into DI or into a desk or whatever, you need something else like some modulation or time-based effects.
Yeah. It was just a bit harsh. But the bass sounded good. Bass I like through it. And, you know, a lot of people use it for vocals. People use it on drums.
Yep. I reamped some drums through it once.
Because it's got XLR in and out as well, so you can... Yeah. You can. So I quite liked it. I might... we should look into the... Is it called the Crayon?
Yeah.
Or just a drive section, I think. Down. Scaled down drive section. Yeah. I should look into it. Because I quite like the sound of it. Because it's not cheap, that's the only thing.
No, it's not.
So, but that was quite nice. So we did that.
Yeah.
That's the five demos we did today. And it doesn't sound like much, five demos, but it actually is quite a long day. Like, I got here at about 10 in the morning, and what time is it now?
Three
in the afternoon. So that's five demos with setting up and packing up and...
Working out what we're going to do.
Working out what we're going to do and all that sort of stuff. So it's not just as easy as sitting down and...
Playing guitar and all that
stuff. So anyway, that's what we did today. That should be coming out soon. What else is new? Is there anything new with me? I'm just trying to think. I don't think there is. I've been buying lots of plugins lately.
Oh yeah.
Not so much pedals and stuff and guitar stuff, but I'm getting more and more into. I'm actually enjoying.
Yes.
The recording side of things more and more.
Cool.
I'm currently working. Myself and a friend of mine. We're writing stuff, and we're working on either an EP or an album. We're not quite sure. At the speed we're going, it'll most likely be an EP more than an album because it'll take another 10 years for an album. But, I mean, we're in no rush, but we've been writing and recording, and I would like to... I have never done a lot of recording other than quick demos, and I would really like to... Part of this recording experience is to learn how to... do it, you know,
cool.
And get, you know, try to be as much involved, not just in the writing and performing side of it, but also in the recording it and kind of taking on the producer hat to a certain degree and the engineer at the same time and everything.
Mm.
And just doing it slowly, you know, no rush with, you know, there's no rush in doing all this. It's more of a fun thing than a, you know, we're going to be rock stars, which we know we're not, but I'm really enjoying the recording process, and I'm really enjoying doing the producer kind of thing. So yeah, I've been buying lots of plugins. They've been really cheap.
Just a side note for recording, once I got some recording gear and started recording myself and other people, man, it kicks your ass about your own guitar playing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
You're like, oh, okay, I'm sloppy here and I need to work on this. And
I hate recording anything solo, guitar solo-wise, when I record myself, because I think I've done like 40, 50 takes on like a three-second little bit, because I just go, oh, I don't like that, do it again. Oh, I don't know, do that again. So, yeah, no, I don't like doing it. Yeah.
I think with solos, you either get it the fourth time or the 60th time.
Or the first time.
Sorry, I meant the first time.
First time or the 659th time. Yeah. Or you start cutting bits together.
And then, because after a couple of takes or so, you start thinking about it.
Or you just go, you know what?
Overthinking.
Let's not put a solo there.
Yeah. How about piano solo?
Yeah, saxophone. Bring a saxophone in. He can do a solo. So that's pretty much what I've been doing. Just doing lots of working on the songs and...
Mm-hmm.
buying plugins and getting into more mixing and EQing and trying to separate frequencies that mask each other.
Yep.
See, I didn't even know that there was such a term as masking frequencies.
Hmm.
Now I do.
Well, they're probably hidden before then.
Yeah, because they were masked. So, any, other than that, I don't think I've done any guitar-related stuff.
Any sort of plugins towards guitar? Help you with guitar sounds or...?
Not really, no. Oh, I mean, there's... I can't remember for the life of me what it's called. I bought one of the Sound Toys delays, but it's not the Echo Boy.
Mm.
It's a different one. It has this freeze function where you can do these weird glitchy delay things,
cool.
which are used on a guitar part.
Right.
But what is it called? It's a newer one. But anyway, doesn't matter. That was quite fun on guitar anyway. But yeah, other than that, not really, really guitar related. Mm. Mostly just general recording related.
Yeah, cool.
All right, well, that's what we've been up to lately. One thing I sort of wanted to just quickly talk about, or not, you know, I don't know however long it'll take, but podcasts and YouTube videos.
Yep.
So, actually, quickly before we get into that, has anyone else posted onto our Facebook or anything, like a photo of where they are when they're listening to the thing?
Don't think so.
I don't think anyone has. So, we're still doing that. So, if anyone's out there, if you're listening to this podcast,
yep.
regardless of where you are, if you fly in a plane, if you are...
Baking a cake.
Just take a photo of what you're looking at right now, you know, and send it through just for us to know, you know, who's listening, where in the world you are. And also, you know, it's always interesting to know where people are listening to podcasts.
Yeah.
So, you know, if you do that, that would be greatly appreciated. There should be somewhere around where you clicked on this podcast, there should be a link to our Facebook page. Or our Instagram pages quite often too. Just go there and post it and let us know. And we've had a couple of people, but I haven't had anyone lately. So,
yeah.
Okay, back to what I wanted to talk about. So podcasts and YouTube videos and stuff.
Mm.
We have been getting a lot of sort of mixed messages. I mean, YouTube generally, it's... and I mean, most internet-related things, it's this kind of hiding behind... the, you know, it's not hiding behind, but it's sort of, you have this kind of separation. You're on your phone, you're at home.
Yeah.
People tend to be quite aggressive at times with comments they leave and stuff like that. Anyway, and we've been getting very sort of mixed comments with some of our stuff. Some people like what we're doing and they like the fact that we talk a lot and they like the fact that we're kind of being silly and it's sort of very informal.
Casual.
But then a lot of other people tend to have this thing where it's like, oh, just shut up and play. I don't want to hear you talk. I just want to hear the pedal, you know,
yeah.
or whatever we're doing. And it sort of got me thinking, and I sort of, most of the stuff I like, I think it's, to me, it's more about the personalities of the people as opposed to the actual content. I mean, the actual content is important too, don't get me wrong, but
yeah.
to me, a lot of times, it's sort of more about the people. And I'm just sort of wondering, and I'm throwing a question out to everyone, and, you know, leave us comments as well. So what is it about YouTube channels and what is it about podcasts that you like and that you don't like? What makes one podcast better than the other? What makes one YouTube channel better than the other? So, for example, you, Alex, so let's say podcasts or YouTube.
Okay.
If you would say, like, your, I don't know, three most that you watch the most YouTubers and the three most listened to podcasts, what are they and why do you listen to them?
Sure. Okay.
Or watch them.
Well, probably for different reasons, obviously.
Yeah.
I know you like Henning too. HB42 from Germany. Hey Henning, how are you?
Hello Henning, if you're listening.
Hello from Australia. Mostly because of the detail he goes into with everything.
And he does go into a lot of detail. Sometimes even a little bit too much detail. Yeah.
And then just him being himself, just know, dumb jokes and penis jokes and
lots of penis jokes
about willies and doodles and penises.
Yes,
all of those
and things that she said.
Yes, the kind of just casualness about his approach. And then,
see, because I think we were talking about this a while ago. Like, for example, just a good example, Knobs videos.
Sure, yeah.
I mean, beautifully shot,
yeah.
Super artistic.
Yep.
But I probably, I don't know, how long are they? Like 5 to 10 minutes, let's say?
Yeah.
I guess depending on what the product is. Probably halfway through, I kind of go, over it.
Sure.
As nice as it is, you know, and it's, and I'm not saying they're bad. I'm just saying, but then I watch Henning for an hour and a half, and for some reason, the whole time, you know, I watch it. I like watching it.
Yeah, it goes past like that.
It goes and it goes much quicker. Yeah, and it just sort of made me think, like, what, you know, it's.
But he's the same too. I know he gets a lot of people going.
He gets lots of comments. Like, yeah.
Oh, I shut up, and it's not funny, and just play the thing.
Yeah,
but. I don't know, kind of anything, I think anything with personality involved on the internet is going to divide people.
Of course it is, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like whether it's music or anything else, sports commentary or whatever you're talking about.
Yeah.
Anything with sort of some opinion, you're going to divide your audience.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
So, which, yeah, so that's kind of, yeah, well, I dig him. And but then also, like, Sean Tubbs, that's his name.
Yep.
He hasn't done a lot of videos, but the ones he's done are really great. Like, phenomenal session player. I think he's
a great player.
Maybe
yeah.
Nashville.
Yeah, I think so.
And just, like, has that great approach of really, really lovely guitar into a really lovely amp, one pedal, tone's killer.
Plays great.
Plays like bullshit.
Yeah.
You know? I kind of go there for the tones and just to watch him play.
Like, well, that's the other thing. Like, so for example, I mean, another prime guy for me, Mike Hermans.
Yeah, killer.
Killer player. What a great player.
Just want to sit down and get some chord voicings off Mike.
That's it, yeah. But again, you know, and again, nothing against him because I really like what he does.
Hmm.
But I usually, like, his videos, I don't know, what are they, like 10 minutes long, 8 to 10 minutes long? I usually watch a little bit of the start, and then I usually skip forward to the bit where he does a knob twisting part.
Yep.
Because usually he plays along to tracks with different settings, and then it fast forward, I kind of go forward to when he does a knob twisting thing. Mm. But again, it's for me, and I guess everyone is different in that opinion, but... to me, I think the personality almost outweighs the content. Like,
Perfect example of that is probably pedals and effects.
Pedals and effects, yeah, exactly.
Man.
But just... I mean, Nick Reinhardt is a killer player too.
Yeah.
Like the stuff, and unique player.
Creative, yeah.
Very highly unique player. And his approach to using pedals is very unique, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah,
you could just, they could just be having a coffee and talking crap. And
yeah.
That'd be a video.
Well, speaking of having a coffee and talking crap, Guitar Wank.
Yeah.
They're not having coffees, they're having whiskey usually.
Yes.
But I mean, I love that show.
But they do have, probably my favourite podcast. They also talk about some really, like, high intellectual concepts with music.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I mean, they've been in their business for a long time. Yeah. And,
which is great.
Fantastic players.
Which is great because I love that whole idea of talking about concepts rather than actual, you know, this arpeggio sounds good over this. Like,
yeah.
That's cool, but how do you use that in
in
the real world? And and now I'm only halfway through all the episodes. I've dropped back a bit with Guitar Wank.
Been slack.
I know. But I'm getting into where they're doing all the interviews with... amp makers.
Oh, they're good, yeah. Like
John Sir and Dr. Z. And
that Sharp, what's his first name?
Todd Sharp.
Todd Sharp.
Yeah, listen to that week or two.
He's done a lot of stuff too. He's because played with lots of people.
That's really
I think I just watched Premier Guitar did the Hall & Oates rig rundown and I think...
Oh, really?
To
check that out.
Thingy's using one of the Sharp amps. Oh. He's actually using one of the amps.
Oh, cool.
Yeah. What's his name?
Yeah, Mr. Hall.
Mr. Hall.
Was it Mr. Oates?
Which one's the guitar player? Which one's the blonde guy and which one's the black-haired guy?
Daryl Hall's.
Daryl Hall. Yeah, live at Daryl's house. Okay, yeah, Daryl, yeah. That's the blonde guy. So, Oates.
Mr.
Oates. Mr. Oates. John Oates. Gavin Oates.
Steve Oates.
Anyway, he uses the show.
Steve Oates' cousin.
Steve Oates' cousin, yeah. Rob Oates. It's Australian stuff.
Get silly.
Yeah, they're great. And then Dweezil Zappa was on as well.
Yeah, cool. I saw that. I haven't listened to it yet.
Yeah. So what other YouTube? We sort of skipped from YouTube to podcast, but what other YouTube stuff YouTube do you stuff. Like? So Sean Tubbs, Henning, yep. HB42, and yep. What would be a third one?
Brett Kingman's always great for what if you just want to hear what a pedal actually sounds like.
He's very good and to the point.
Yeah.
Like his videos are never much more than 5 minutes long. And you seem to get
the reality.
Everything that the pedal can do out of it within those few minutes.
Yeah.
He seems to be really good at being quick and to the point.
Because he does a lot of videos, so.
He's probably done the most out of anyone online, or close to the most out of anyone.
Except for Andy.
Oh, PGS, yeah.
Yeah.
See, that's another thing a lot of people bring up. For example, Andy. I mean, he's one of the original guys.
Yeah, cool.
But then a lot of people now, lately, have found, you find a lot of almost hate for that because it's a shop, so he's trying to sell stuff.
Yeah, obviously.
Well, obviously.
It's a shop.
But I mean, that's a lot of money. But a lot of people sort of go, you know, he doesn't actually critique pedals. Sure. But then it's not meant to be a critique. I think it's just meant to be playing the pedal.
Yeah.
And finding what's best, you know, the best sound out of it.
It's Pro Guitar Shop, so they sell a lot of different guitar pedals. It's not like we have one overdrive pedal, come and buy it, and nothing else is better.
Yeah.
You know, it's kind of demoing all the stock they have, which is a large amount.
Very large amount, yeah.
Yeah. So.
But yeah, a lot of people, which I don't quite get that, you know, but again, it's this sort of very opinion-based thing online where you can sort of, you're hiding behind the device that you're using to browse the internet or browse these things. And
so it's
very easy to put negative comments there.
Yeah.
You know, but anyway, so.
That's more like a social commentary thing, not just a music.
It's with everything. It's with everything. But I do find the music thing, and especially pedals and stuff like that.
Mm.
People have very, very strong opinions.
Yeah.
And if you're not of their opinion, they will go out of their way to try and be as nasty as they can and try to, you know, talk you down a lot. There are some, you know, I guess they call it trolls. Is that what they call it?
Yeah.
Anyway, I think it's a very opinionated. Whereas I always find, especially with music, I mean, it's a creative thing.
Yeah.
Is there really such a thing as a right and a wrong opinion when it comes to creativity? I don't think there is.
No.
Anything can be good for someone and bad for someone else.
Yeah.
But I think a lot of people are just very... Anyway, I mean, this is turning into a psychology podcast.
Yeah.
So Brett Kingman, HP42, and Sean Tubbs.
Kind of like... It's another one I really like the style of, but never quite get through all the videos, is the Living Room Demos.
He's an odd dude, but and I mean it in the nicest possible way.
Yeah.
But he seems like a pretty odd dude.
And I kind of like it.
Yeah, I mean, I do like it as well. Yeah.
But so that's kind of another thing where, if you just want to hear what the pedal sounds like, and he does it really quite artistic way.
He does it quite artistic. Yeah. Shot
really nicely, film wise and stuff.
Yeah. Yeah. I do like him too. I do like his stuff too.
The other ones that are really cool are what are they called? The ones that do the Haunt Fuzz and the your quirky delays.
All Blood Noise All Blood Endeavors. Noise.
Their own videos?
Yeah, the
cool, where they're in the woods and doing all
stuff. Yeah. And then they did that Coffee and Riffs, which was really cool. I used to watch that. I don't know if they're still doing it or not. Did you ever watch it? They got different guitar players in.
Coffee and Riffs.
Coffee and Riffs.
Yeah, yeah. Oh, yeah. Was that them?
That was them, yeah, yeah.
Oh, okay, cool.
There was your thing just took light went off.
Yeah.
There
we go.
I think, is it Brady, the main guy out of one of the main guys? He's always the guy in all the videos and stuff.
All right,
he did the Coffee and Riff stuff.
I watched heaps of those, but didn't realise, didn't know if put two
in. Yeah, it's the same dude. It's a dude. I really like the Coffee and Riff stuff.
Yeah.
And it was like guys like Mason Stoops and a few other people, and they just give him a bunch of pedals.
Yeah.
And they just make noise, and I really dig it. And Nick Reinhardt was in one of them too, and he did made a lot of noise.
It's his thing. But that's, again, like, you're checking out personalities and, like, how different personalities create sounds and textures with X amount of these boxes.
So that's, I mean, it's the same with me. I always find it interesting when people just want to hear what the pedal sounds, because, I mean, to me, I don't know, it kind of bores me just watching, just having that. I need to have the personality. And I mean, for me personally, like, we mentioned Henning. To me, Henning, probably now he's become my favourite YouTube guy.
Sure.
And I watch just about everything, even videos where he even himself says, why are you people watching this? It's an unboxing video, or it's a, you know. Yeah. Or they did this video the other day, he was at Framus.
Oh, yeah.
And there's this special wood they're using, which is in whiskey barrels.
Yeah, wow. Okay.
Because I think they use... I don't know about whiskey. Is it distilling? Is that what they call it? Or making it or whatever? But I think they put wood sometimes into the barrels, or I think the barrels are made out of certain wood and that gives it certain flavours.
Yeah. You sort of
marinates it or whatever you call it.
Often use oak and things like that.
I think they did a thing where they had timbers for guitars, like guitar bodies, sort of semi-cut out guitar bodies. Cool. That it put into these whiskey barrels.
Oh, really?
And they were in there, and it stained them, the colour and all that sort of stuff. There was a video on that, and I watched it just the other day, and it was really cool, too.
I think Fender did a limited run of, like, on a Deluxe Reverbs or something. The actual cabinet was made out of old whiskey barrel timber.
Oh, okay.
Timber.
Well, they do, and they do... are they doing one of some... Is it the Hollywood Bowl... The old Hollywood Bowl seating and stuff like that. They're making like a special run series Fender. And I know they did some old barns and stuff like that, and that's, like, really old timbers.
Yes, some old... I think it's... From what I know, it's definitely happens in the north of the US, maybe even towards Canada. There's this thing of using really old pine out of, like, barns and, like, old churches get knocked down and stuff. They use really old pine for Telecaster bodies.
Okay.
Yeah. It's supposed to be quite a cool timber.
Well, there you go. But that's, you know, that's...
A couple hundred year old pine, yeah.
That's the kind of stuff you learn watching Henning. Okay, so for me personally, so Henning, I really like Henning. One of the other ones I really like watching, it has nothing really to do with guitars, but I just like the guy again. Molten Music Technology...
Was it the synth?
It's like a synth guy. It's a guy. Yeah. I think he does.
I've seen one video.
There's different Molten Music things. Like I think he's in England and he does. He builds computer systems for people for recording, like PCs.
Yeah.
But he builds, like, people order computers and he builds a computer specifically for sound stuff.
Gotcha.
But then he also did this thing, and that's how I started getting into him, because I'm kind of, I've been for ages toying with the idea of getting into modular synth stuff.
Yep.
And he did this thing where he did these videos and he kind of, he wanted to get into modular synth, but he didn't know how to get into it. So he started researching stuff and he started buying the odd things and he kind of filmed it all, the process of how to get into it.
Okay, cool.
And I really like that. Like, again, I really like him as a personality. It seems like a really interesting dude.
Yeah, yeah.
And I started watching that, and then I sort of got into all the other stuff, and he does reviews on, like, the new Surface Pro computers, which are all touchscreen and stuff, and how they work So he got the latest 2017 Surface Pro in, and he puts all these different music editing software on it and sees how it works and if that works for that computer or not. And
sure, yeah.
Because he loves the fact that it's touchscreen. So you have a computer that has a keyboard, normal keyboard and a mouse, but it can also be touchscreen.
Cool, yeah.
So the hands-on approach and stuff. So I really got into watching him.
Okay, cool. I'm off to check that myself.
Molten Music Technology, yeah. What's another one? Hang on. Oh, God, my brain doesn't work. I've just got to check my YouTube thing. Who else am I watching? I'm always on freaking YouTube, so I should know this stuff.
Yeah.
Who else have I been watching? Don't know if I pronounce his name right, but Rick Beato?
I don't know.
He's a guy, he's like a... He did this video, and I first got a hold of him. I think it's his son. He put a video up, and it went viral, and he basically... His son has got, like, super perfect pitch, and he played notes on a piano, and then his kid would say what the notes are, but then it went as far as him doing these weird chords, and the kid would know, just by hearing it, what the notes are in the chords.
Wow.
And that's how I sort of first got into it. And I think, and he does a lot of... Actually, part of what he does on YouTube is ear training, so learning how to, you know, recognize pitch and stuff like that. But then he does lots of like scales and modes and how to use, like, it's sort of more an instructional thing.
Okay.
But again, I like the dude. He's very sort of to the point and very. I just kind of like the way he does things.
Well, getting back to that kind of. What you've been up to recently with recording. We both watched a lot of Produce Like a Pro.
Warren Tude, yeah, he's great. I really like him.
And because he's a guitar player, a lot of the videos are about recording guitar.
Yeah.
Which is super handy. And the whole thing that kind of we've been on about for ages too, which he loves, is that edge of breakup amp sound.
Yeah.
Oh, the other... Oh, almost forgot. If you haven't checked out Tim Pierce's...
Oh, Tim Pierce, that's right.
YouTube channel, go and do
it. He is great. I really like Tim Pierce.
Sit there for a day or two and just watch all of Tim's videos.
He just seems like such a nice dude.
Yeah.
And always so happy.
Yeah.
Oh, and Pete Thorne. There you go. There's another dude.
Does he play guitar?
Yeah. And the Tim and...
Pete's guitar.
The Tim and Pete show.
That's really cool. One of my favourite, I think I might have mentioned this before, Michael Thompson, the session guy, when they did Tim and Pete's guitar show with Michael Thompson, because he's talks about doing like ambient swells with guitar and using like shimmer reverbs and things to get sort of synthy pad type effects.
Yeah.
But the trick to doing that, which I've now stolen, rightly so, because it's cool.
As you do.
Is he stacks two compressor pedals to get that. And then you swell into it either with a guitar pot or a volume pedal. So you've got this block of volume, block of guitar with no dynamic, just it's all effect. Just whoosh.
Ah, interesting.
Yeah.
I might have to try and steal that too.
Yeah.
Sorry.
I've tried it. It's really good.
Oh, cool. Okay.
Yep. Two compressor pedals.
Well, I mean, you use quite often with recording... Like vocals and stuff like that, you use multiple compressors.
Yeah.
So you don't have one compressor just compressing the crap out of it. You have a couple of compressors compressing a little bit.
Yeah, and you end up with a...
And then, you know, Brett Kingman, I like Brett Kingman. I watch quite a bit of Brett Kingman. But, yeah, so I think, to me, that personality sort of is more important almost than the content.
Yeah.
I mean, the content is important too, but... I kind of almost watch it as entertainment. It's like TV, you know? You watch it...
You watch
Seinfeld because it's funny and you like the characters in it. Seinfeld for your young people is a show that was on a long, long time ago.
Yeah.
But it's funny if you get a chance to watch it. As for podcasts, Guitar Wank, I really like. I always listen to that. 60 Cycle Hum.
Mm-hmm.
Hello, 60 Cycle Hum guys, if you're listening. Ryan and Steve, always, that was probably one of the first podcasts I kind of got into, and I still really like him. And again, you kind of get you it's almost like you know the people after a while.
Yeah,
you sort of it's funny. They're almost like friends that you don't actually know.
Yeah, It's a bit surreal, but
it is a bit. That whole 6 degrees of separation. I think, was I talking to you about that the other day? We're kind of skipping around it, but I mean, so sort of internet, social media, and all that sort of stuff generally. Mm. It's just bizarre nowadays how. So when I first started going to watch bands and stuff, let's say, and got into music, let's say, 90s, early 90s, yep. Right? I'm old. a lot of times, you know, I grew up in Europe, but living there and then coming here, a lot of bands that are like for American bands
mm-hmm.
or English bands or, you know, the band will maybe tour once every few years. You go and watch the band, and that's sort of the only time you kind of almost close to the band, you know what I mean? But then sure. The band goes.
Yep.
Nowadays with social media, that is kind of gone almost.
Totally.
To the point where I have, for example, just, I have no idea why, but just for example, a band that I absolutely worshipped in the 90s when I was little, Mr. Bungle, one of my all-time favorite bands. For whatever reason, the bass player out of that band, Trevor Dunn, he started following me on Instagram.
Yeah, cool.
And like he likes some of my posts, and it just it eliminates that kind of gap of separation. So here's a band and a musician that I kind of idolized and worshipped when I was little.
Yep.
And all of a sudden, this guy follows me for whatever reason on Instagram. And like some of my posts. So it's almost like we're kind of interacting.
Sure.
You know, so that 6 degrees of separation thing that people were talking about, it's kind of gone.
Yeah.
There is, it's a, you know, an iPhone of separation nowadays. And I had, for whatever reason, again, the Manhattan Transfer, like a world famous jazz vocal group, they started following me on Instagram. I don't know why, but they do. Cool. And they like some of my posts. And you go, why did, you know, it's just bizarre, you know, that these people that were so far removed 10 years ago,
totally.
All of a sudden, through Instagram, so through Facebook, you can see what they do on a daily basis just about. Mm. And quite often, they start following you and then they kind of like your posts, which means they're looking at what you do.
Yeah.
Which 10 years ago, that would be unheard of. That, you know, it's, I don't know, I find it bizarre.
Yeah, I've spoken about this with other people, especially when it comes to promoting your music. How, like definitely up until, say, 10 years ago, early 2000s, it was that, like, rock stars and pop stars and people you had albums of, they were always kind of like this mythical sort of like
they were over there somewhere, they were far removed from us,
almost mysterious because you didn't know anything about their personal life, particularly pop stars and rock stars, because you know, this like sort of you just the mystery around them,
and all you know is what you sort of hear on TV every once in a while, and
in a magazine or something, and now it's pretty much the opposite where. If you want to promote yourself, you almost have to let people into your most intimate moments.
You have to let them into your private life.
Yeah.
Because otherwise you're not really, you're like, oh, who's that snobby guy, you know?
Yeah.
It's bizarre.
It is odd.
But anyway, so that's, I mean, that's on a side note, but where was I before that? Lost track. Oh, podcasts. Another one I really like, Guitar Nerds.
Yeah, cool.
I really like listening to that. And again, it's a personality thing again. I think I like the guys on there.
Yeah.
I mean, but I guess that's always the thing, you know. It's in the end, podcasts, YouTube is sort of becoming what again 10, 20 years ago was TV.
Yeah.
It's light entertainment.
It is, yeah.
But you can choose pick and choose what you want to hear. But anyway, I just find it interesting. And then what absolutely blows my mind is the fact that you look at, you know, on the statistics for this podcast, for example, you can see where in the world people are that listen to this. And, you know, we've got people, there's people in America, there's people in South America, there's people in Europe, there's people in South Africa, there's people all over Asia and Japan. it just kind of blows my mind that people from all over the world listen to this.
Totally.
And, you know, like, we had the guys that we were talking about last time, the guys that posted pictures,
mm-hmm.
you know, one in Wales, one in New Mexico, one in Michigan, I think, and one in Norway. You know, it's just, it's amazing that there's people, you know, on the other side of the world from us that are kind of listening to this. And maybe to a certain degree, it form this kind of separated relationship with us.
Yeah.
Like, you know, we form, like, for example, you know, like, I've been listening to 60 Cycle Hum for 2 years or something like that. It's almost like, you know, if I don't listen to this stuff for a while, it's almost like, oh, you know, I wonder what Brian and Steve are up to.
Yeah, cool.
Because they sort of become part of your, almost your friend, group of friends.
Yeah.
Even though they're not. They live in America and I've never met the guys before. You know, they almost become your friends. And it's kind of, it blows my mind to think that there are maybe people somewhere in the world who think of us like that. It's kind of bizarre.
Yeah, it's a bit of a trip.
Cool. You know, and again, 20 years ago, that couldn't have happened. 20 years ago, if you're lucky, you know, locally people may know who you are.
Yeah.
How are we going with time? 46 minutes.
Maybe just one more thing. I got a message just before. This is a bit of a sidetrack.
Ooh, let us into your personal life, Alex. Yeah,
well, what do you wear? No. wrong message. yeah, just one last thing before we wind up, because I have to do some things.
Yes.
A friend of mine, Dan, from Melbourne. Hey, Dan, shout out. You sent me a message about pedals order on his pedal board.
Uh-huh.
Effect order.
Yes.
So he has an ATM.
So this is actually a message that just came. He just got that message.
And I thought, why not?
Yeah, let's talk about it.
Just discuss why.
Why not? Let's discuss.
It's only a few pedals. An ATM, which I think might be, is that like the...
Is that the Catalan bread?
Oh, I thought it was that. It's like preamp pedals.
No, that's AMT, I think they are, aren't they?
Maybe it's, I don't know. Let's just assume that's an overdrive, because that's all he said.
Well, I think...
ATM pedal?
Is it AMT or ATM?
Well, it's written ATM, but it could be...
Because I think... Oh. Don't count me on it. Keep rating. I'm just looking.
The others are a Boss Delay, a Boss Chorus, a TC Sub and Up, and an MXR envelope filter.
He said, is he a bass player?
No, he plays guitar.
Guitar, okay. Sounds almost like a bass thing.
Well, he loops a lot of stuff, so probably loops bass lines and stuff.
Okay.
He says, would you change this order and why? Jeez, mate. Cool. So.
Okay. Well, how would you go about it?
I'd start with an envelope filter.
Yes, me too. I would put that first.
Okay.
Because you always want to put the, to me, any kind of wah or frequency related things.
Yeah.
I would put first. Oh, and it's an SFT. Sorry, Catalan Bread has an SFT.
Oh, yeah, sure. That's a bass thing, isn't it? I don't know. Anyway, it doesn't matter.
It's
not that anyway.
It's not that. That's the one I was thinking of anyway. Sure. So maybe AMT, they're those, I think the Russian.
Yeah, those
preamp pedals. I've got a wah of theirs.
So after the MXR...
Yes, it is an... Sorry, on the side. The SFT is voiced after an Ampeg.
Yeah, cool.
It's like an Ampeg in a box.
So we've got an AMT overdrive, a Boss Delay, Boss Chorus, Sub and Up, and Envelope Filter. So we'll start with the Envelope Filter.
I will put that first.
And then would you go overdrive or octave?
Depends. Depends.
Distorted octaves or octave distorted?
Yeah. I personally would probably put it first.
Which one's that?
The octave. I like, for example, when I use my whammy pedal, I like putting it in front of the distortion or front of drives. And the octave sounds different. I think if you want a cleaner octave, you put it after. But if you want a more dirty sounding octave, you put it before. I think if you put it after, you can hear the two notes more.
Sure.
As if you put it before, it sort of becomes more of a almost synthy sounding thing.
Mm.
That's just me personally. So yeah. I probably would put it before, but
I think so too. So envelope filter, then the octave, then overdrive.
Then the drive. Does he have one or two drives?
Just one.
Just one, okay.
And then chorus, then delay.
Ooh, the chorus depends also.
Well, it's a boss chorus and it's a boss delay. So.
But the chorus, whether I'd put it before the distortion or after. Because it's more, depends on how dominant you want it to be.
I always put modulation after distortion.
I do some before, some after. Because I think if it's beforehand, it sounds quite different to after. Yeah. It just depends on what you, how you want to use it.
Probably safer to go after, hey?
Possibly. See, I've got... I put a lot of modulation before my drives, but, I mean, that's just me. But delay last, yeah, for sure.
Yeah, cool.
So, for example, what I do, and what I probably do different to a lot of other people, I put my higher gain drives first. So I usually have two or three drives.
Yep.
And I usually go from highest to lowest. But you would go the other way around, wouldn't you?
Yeah.
See, the way I look at it, I look at it is...
I've got my always on overdrive last.
Okay, yeah, because that's it. I kind of look at it as that's the amp.
Yeah, sure. No, yeah, because so then I have on my live board, I've got a, what's it called? A Dual Fusion Wampler.
Okay, yeah, yeah.
And a Catlin Bread Silver Kiss.
Silver Kiss.
So, which we should do a demo of. I think we've done
that. Haven't we done one yet? Oh, no, I don't think we have.
Maybe not.
No, well, there you go.
But I've got the first channel of the Dual Fusion as always on, the vintage channel.
Okay.
And then. Because you've got a switch of order, how you get
two channels. Yeah.
So I've got the second channel, which is heavier gain and thicker, that goes into it, into the and then the Catlin Bread before it in the signal chain.
And that's lower gain.
Yeah.
Okay. So see, I have it usually. I have. Well, the way I have it at the moment, I have.
Why not?
Oh, you got to go. Yeah, yeah. I usually have my higher gains going into my lower gains, even on my King of Tone. I have the red side, which is the right side, which is the first side, is a higher gain going into the lower gain left side.
Right.
But anyway, I mean, that's it.
Yeah, that's a whole nother...
That's a whole nother podcast. We can talk about that. Yeah. So, I guess we better call it a day.
Thanks,
we're almost
at... for your conversation.
52 minutes. Cool. So, well, thank you very much for listening. Please make sure to subscribe. Check out our YouTube channel as well. We're doing that Clones and Clones thing now, so there's... a whole bunch of those videos coming up soon.
Yep.
Make sure to subscribe to everything and like things and Facebook, and there's links to Instagram and all that sort of stuff. And if you could, you know, just go and leave us a comment on YouTube, not YouTube, on iTunes.
Yeah.
You know, like a comment. The more people comment and, you know, the higher up we go in ratings and lists and stuff, and when people search for us, it's easier to find us. So... please do that. And if you are somewhere and you're listening to the podcast now and you have the ability of taking a photo of what it is you're looking right now, do that. Then find our Facebook page, which I think is just The Super Fun Awesome Happy Night Pedal Show, possibly. Facebook, blah, blah, blah. Post it and let us know where you are in the world, and then we'll talk about you next time.
Sounds good.
So on that note...
Yeah, very nice.
Let's rock and roll.
Thanks for hanging out.
Cool.
Yeah, see you next time.
Catches.